Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person, contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1253, Allison Task, author of A Year of Self-Care Journal, 52 weeks to cultivate positivity and joy.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Living in a big old house, you've got that sword of Damocles, like, ugh, the windows, ugh, the slate roof, ugh. And take away 2,000 square feet and give me no worries, I'll make that deal. It wasn't just the money, it was the contractors and the people in the house. And we just removed, when is the fridge going to break, right? We just removed all of that worry, those needly little things. So that we cleaned up. That felt really good.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm Farnoosh Torabi. Thanks for sharing your day with us. Today, we have back on the show a friend, Allison Task, who is a career and life coach, speaker, best-selling author. She has a new journal out that I thought would be fun to explore on this show. It's called A Year of Self-Care Journal, 52 weeks to cultivate positivity and joy. Throughout the pages, Allison shares prompts for learning holistic self-care through a year of positive journaling. You just heard her describe an example of the self-care she and her family took in the midst of the pandemic, which was downsizing, selling their home to rent a smaller home. And she is a mom of four kids and runs her own business. Might sound stressful to some, but you'll hear her describe the financial resiliency and calm that came with it. Allison's book has 52 guided prompts where each week she reveals a new self-care goal, a writing prompt, and off the page and into your life exercise. Her advice is road tested as she works with clients all over the world and includes many of her own personal experiences of how she is cultivating positivity and joy in her life, even in these times. Here's Allison Task. Allison Task, welcome back to So Money. How are you?
I am good. I am so happy to be back here with you. Thank you.
You're a bona fide friend of the show. You're a friend in real life, but I mean, I think you've been on at least three times. I've had your husband, Aaron Task, on the show as well. Thanks for always bringing the best content. I wanted to have you back because you've got an incredible new offering to the world. It's A Year of Self-Care Journal. You wrote a new book, a journal for your audience and those of us who are trying to navigate life right now. Your full-time role is a career and life coach. You've guided thousands of clients through major transitions, work, family, personal endeavors, and You are also a best-selling author. Your latest endeavor, though, you wanted to write this journal, which is 52 weeks to cultivate positivity and joy. The overarching theme is self-care. Within that, financial steps, sleep steps. I reference that chapter a lot, because or that week a lot. I'm like, am I sleeping in a dark room? Where's my iPhone? You know, like I think I'm checking off some of those boxes. I could probably do better in that department. But tell us why you wanted to write a journal this time. Your last book was Personal Revolution. We should mention, we want to plug that. How to Be Happy, Change Your Life, and Do the Thing You've Always Wanted to Do. But this one is a journal. Tell us why.
You know, let me just say, in Personal Revolution, there was a journal component without enough space. So let's just say I learned and I wanted to do better in this next iteration, which is really self-care, right? Always trying to learn from your experiences and make it better the next time. But this specific focus of this is a journal. So in my work as a coach, I always try to make sure I'm speaking, I don't know, definitely less than 50% of the time, hopefully closer to 20% of the time. My work is in facilitating other people's thoughts, right? Your growth and creativity is in direct response sometimes to the quality of the question that is asked of you and the ability for someone to listen. So I give people space. This is a book filled with prompts, interesting prompts. You're still thinking about my sleep prompt, right? Interesting prompts, and then the space to reflect. I'm thinking of right now, Oprah. I think Oprah's Super Soul Sunday podcast is like, I believe in people giving themselves time. And so for me, it's like, I want people to have the space to reflect. Mm-hmm. I found so many quick ideas, right? Instagram, pop, pop, pop. Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Now open yourself up to really pursuing it. So that's to me what a journal does. A journal with the thoughtful prompt.
Yes. Because given just a blank book to journal in, that works for some people. People just like that practice of writing and letting releasing some of the thoughts that they've had during the day. It's very cathartic. It helps them process. But if you need the help to kind of know what to, like, I don't know what I don't know, right? So what should I be focusing on? And you do that very, very well for everybody in your book. And I want to get to some of the prompts, specifically the financial prompts, in a moment. But you do a really important thing of defining self-care in the beginning of the book. We're at a point in our world where self-care, I feel like, you know, everybody understands that. Everyone's heard of it. A lot of us are practicing it or think we're practicing it. How do you define self-care? What are some of the things you want us to be thinking about that we might be overlooking in the category of self-care?
I really like, believe it or not, the World Health Organization has a definition of self-care that I put in my book. And they see it as a global necessity, right? So this isn't like pampering for the 1%. This is self-advocacy. So what they say is the fundamental principles of self-care include aspects of the individual, self-reliance, empowerment, autonomy, personal responsibility, and self-efficacy, as well as the greater communities, community participation, involvement, empowerment. So they see self-care as standing up for yourself, right? Autonomy, efficacy. Those are all forward movements, right? Self-care isn't like retreating into a bubble bath only, right? There's the agency, mm-hmm. action, and the repair. Sometimes I think we talk about self-care as repair without the agency and the action that's vital, right? Self-care is, you know, our friend, also a guest of the podcast, Rachel Wyman, just ran her first Ironman years after a horrible bike accident training that ripped open her leg and stomach, right? An Ironman while she runs a business, single mom in a community during a pandemic. What? Right? So self-care is going after it and running that Ironman and then chilling out afterwards, having some birthday cake. It's both of those things, not just the repair side. It's also the action side. Also, as part of that definition from WHO is community involvement. That means volunteering. That means stepping in. With all of the things going on now, someone needs your help. You're better off than someone somewhere, and they could use the support. So that community involvement honestly really touched a nerve and changed my life while writing this book and set me up for a very different life this year.
I want to sit in this space for a little bit longer. I love how you're defining self-care, because as I'm hearing these examples, I don't necessarily think that they require a price tag. They don't require expending money. And that's against a lot of what we see in the self-care industry. You talked about Instagram, right? Like if you scroll on there long enough, you're going to be convinced that you need to buy all these things in order to have the perfect joyous life and to protect yourself and to be good to yourself. And so can you talk about that push-pull of there's all this stuff we need to practice self-care versus the things that we can do that, frankly, are free, but it really does require prioritizing?
It sort of comes back to the whole point of having a journal, right? The most valuable thing that every single person has is time, right? And that is limited. And that is how you choose to spend, right? Robert Kiyosaki says, I can make another dollar, but I can't make another day.
Yeah.
So that's super true, right? My baby is one for 365 days, and then they're two. Two's awesome also, but if you want to squeeze the juice, the marrow. If you want to get the good stuff, you have to be really intentional with your time. And that doesn't cost anything. It's just where you want to focus your attention. Right? Yeah. That's what we're doing, focusing our attention. It's not wine. It's not a bubble bath. It's not an extravagant getaway. You know, there's a peony outside of the Starbucks on Valley Road. And I can spend a lot of time staring at that peony. I've got really nice flowers in my backyard. I'm in love with my three little geraniums I bought on sale at Home Depot. I nurture the shit out of those geraniums because they just keep making flowers. It's amazing. Now, I did buy them on sale. It was like $9.99 a geranium. But I cannot tell you the hours of enjoyment I get nurturing, caring for, and watering. And then I just stare at the beautiful pink on the blue sky, right?
Yeah.
$9.99 investment. It gives me the whole summer and hours I've spent staring at them, taking care of them, loving them, and they love me
back, right? Right. You clearly live in a part of Montclair where there are no deer. I also bought Mums from Home Depot. First thing I did when I moved into my house, the next day I was so happy. I was thrilled. They were gorgeous. They were overflowing. Next day, destroyed.
Yeah. So Farnoosh, that's part of the reason why I moved. I moved from deer Montclair to deer free Montclair. So, do you know what we did when we lived in deer Montclair? Because this is relevant. While living in the deer, raccoon, turkey zone, I didn't buy any flowers. That's daft, as you learned, but I loved watching the wildlife. Someone once came and threw corn all over my driveway to attract turkeys in September. But like, if that's what you got to watch, there's a whole section on going out and finding nature in your neighborhood.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I mean that sincerely. Work with what you have.
You practice what you preach. You were inspired to write this journal, partly not from just your work and your client experiences, but also your own pursuit of self-care in the pandemic, a mom of four, running your own business. Like many families, things I can attest in my own life too started to unravel. Is that a fair word? Unraveling. What were some of the immediate steps you took to bring back some sense of normalcy and agency, right? Because that's what also we lost. We felt like we lost our ability to even execute upon some choices because like decisions were just being made for us. You couldn't send your kids to school. You couldn't go back to work in an office. You wouldn't want to leave your home without the, taking on serious precautions. And so what's even the point? Those limitations really put a lid on things. And if you've got a busy household with a lot of different needs to meet, that can be very eruptive.
So there were a couple of key self-care things that happened last year and actions that were taken. So self-care is maintenance, right? So you've got to see like when things are starting to unravel, like my geraniums, they dip a little. I got to deadhead it, remove it, let a new one grow, right? So in the beginning of the pandemic, my husband and I were both working, sharing childcare. That didn't work for anybody, right? And so we sort of had to reassess, what are we going to do here? It became a little bit easier to reassess when his position was eliminated. His job was to, believe this or not, open up a New York City bureau, a journalistic bureau for a company called Seeking Alpha. And he was hired in February 2020, right? So like 6 weeks in, clearly he can't do that. And after a few months, they're like, we're going to eliminate this. Of course that makes sense, right? So when that happened, we could be like, my God, we're losing money. Or we can say, cool, let's consolidate. He's going to focus on this part of your children who are at home who need care. And Allison, you go for it. You go back to work full time because I was working part time, right? So that gave me the ability to go in full time. So it's just reassess. And in this case, we were caring for the system. We were caring for our home economy, money in, money out. What would we feel good about? He's always been interested in being a stay-at-home dad. I don't know how many people actually decided that during a pandemic was the best time to, you know, pull that lever, but he did, and he did it marvelously. So that was an act of caring for our system. My business thrived. Our family is really good. Our kids are, you know, emotionally healthy, which is what we're going for. Also, in the spirit of writing this book, I had written my last book in 2018. It was 2021. I was like, I think I need a new project, right? So this came up. I was like, let's do it. Let's go for it. I was invited by Callisto to write the book. I was like, yeah, let's take it on. Let's lift a little heavier weight this month. Mm-hmm. And so last February, March, April, May, right? I was writing this book and it was hard. Then I asked for my partner's support, like, hey, I'm going to spend Saturdays on this. I know I'm not around during the week. Are you behind me to do this? He's like, absolutely. And I'll edit it for you. So we took on more, if that makes sense. And then
more of what you wanted to take on.
Yes.
That's the key. It doesn't feel like work in the sense of, you know, this drudgery when you feel like you are choosing your day, you're choosing how you're spending your day. We could spend a whole episode on the economics of your home and that shift and Aaron stepping in as the stay-at-home parent, the full-time stay-at-home parent. Tell us a little bit about how you maneuvered through that big shift. I want to emphasize that self-care takes work and it sometimes takes stepping outside of your comfort zone. Although Aaron said he always wanted to do this, it's still like in a pandemic, as you said, like maybe not the ideal of circumstances to start practicing that. But what were some of the things you had to work through in order to get to cruise control eventually? I mean, it's emotional. It's like, you know, you're completely changing your role, where you're seeding your sense of self-worth, all of that.
Right. And you know, it's certainly a work in progress and we're always still adjusting. One thing we did is we sold our home and we downsized, right? I moved from the deer section to the geranium section. So we downsized. We probably lost 1,000 square feet and we're very happy to say goodbye because we hated the maintenance and the effort and the work. We wanted to shrink, right? We sold our house after learning of his job. And moved from a, I don't know, 3,500 square foot apartment to an 800 square foot apartment. So we literally shrunk it down to the essentials.
I remember going through this with you, like texting, you know, the decision-making process. And I know that there were moments where you were hesitant, doubting, of course, like it's a big, big financial move and life move. But I was like, Allison, you know, you're going to make a lot of money. Like, just think about going to bed knowing you have so much cash in the bank, which in that moment of time was everything. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about having financial resilience.
Yeah. And you know what, Furnish? It's so funny. It was what we were looking at more was the taxes we wouldn't be paying and the home repair costs we wouldn't be repaying. Because living in a big old house, you've got that sort of Damocles, like, oh, the windows, oh, the slate roof, And take away 2,000 square feet and give me no worries, I'll make that deal. It wasn't just the money, it was the contractors and the people in the house. And we just removed, when is the fridge going to break, right? We just removed all of that worry, those needly little things. So that we cleaned up. That felt really good.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. Let's talk about financial resiliency. I brought up the term. It's a quote in your book and it's a prompt in your book. You very eloquently write about this, how to mind your self-care from a financial standpoint with the goal of making an honest assessment of your financial situation. Can you walk us through some of that? It's week 7, by the way. So you hit this really early on in the journal, perhaps also intentional. But tell us a little bit about what you want people to think about when you ask them the question, what does being financially resilient mean to you?
Right.
We already kind of heard about what that means to Allison. You know, sometimes it means downsizing so that you can shore up not just money, but relief in your life and creating less stress in your life, using your money to buy less stress in your life.
So it's really interesting, and this has been coming up a lot with my kids lately. My sons are 8 and my daughter is 7. And so, you know, this weekend we were going to go do a ropes course, and I looked at it and it was like $250. Do I have the $250? I sure do. But we could also go to the lake and be on a canoe, and all of those things are, you know, capital investments we've already made. So I was like, you know, I don't know that that's where we want to spend our money. So to me, being aware of how much you have, how much you can make, and then have a plan for meeting the basics and then having that extra for the cushion. We're going to Rochester next weekend. So I was like, oh, we could use that money for a water park. We could use that money for Niagara Falls and go do Maid of the Mist. I'd rather use that money there. And I want them to know their money is their choice. So my children, I give them allowances. They get birthday money. I let them spend it. My son just bought a Nintendo Switch. After 3 weeks, he said he saved up $300.
Wow.
After 3 weeks, he's like, I don't really like it and I don't play with it. Can I return it? Yes.
Oh, wow. Of course. Yes. Less screen time. Yes, of course.
Right? Because he knows now he can go and get something else. So after 3 weeks, he realized the gift wasn't all he thought it would be, the gift he gave himself. So resiliency is knowing where your money is and how it's working for you. So having that plan and then tweaking, trimming, modifying, and having all of that as your foundation so that when stuff happens, we readjust, but we adjust like a thick rubber band. We pull out, we come back, right? Yes. Resiliency is that, like, it's not a drama. I'll figure it out. My husband plowed into a hydrant. We deal with it. It's fine. The car's not totaled. Insurance will get involved. It's fine. Our basement flooded during the storms. That's interesting. Lied to us in the seller's disclosure. Okay. Call some lawyers, figure out what we can do with that. Right. So it's just the resiliency of knowing you have the funds, you have the support, you have a plan so you can weather the storm.
Have savings. and how much you need may require an assessment of your life and the risks that you take. And, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, that's a higher risk, arguably, than financially higher risk than being someone who is a W-9 employee. What is it? W-2, W-4? I don't even know, right?
In that world again?
But it's a joke because I keep, someone emailed me, they're like, on your podcast, you said W-2, it's actually a W-4 or vice versa. And I was like, well, I made my point. Like, I don't know these things. I'm relearning. 9-to-5 employee, let's just say, they could lay you off. We always say if you're self-employed, a year's worth of bare bone expenses, you know, with the understanding that if your income drops for a year or you face a pandemic and you're in an event company or something like that, that you can at least keep the lights on for a year. Because right now it's taking people 7 months on average, those who are on unemployment, to get off unemployment, which, you know, we can only assume might mean they got another job. For others, they decided to just never work again, I guess. But for those of us who are on unemployment looking to seek another job, it's taking about 7 months. And this is a healthy job market.
Yeah. You know, can I make one other note on financial resiliency? People come to me to change careers and other big changes in their life. I just had a client who came to me. She really wants to move from being an accountant to something totally different. She will need training in order to make that change. You can't be a therapist without a couple years of training, right? Training will be needed. And she's like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to spend the money. I don't want to spend the money. And I was like, okay. Nothing's going to change the reality that if you want a job that requires that training, you have to do the training. After a couple weeks, she's come around to, yeah, my husband and I discussed it. And she's an accountant, right? So she can look at the dollars and understand that. And so that's financial resilience, realizing that she's going to take a short-term dip for a long-term happiness investment. And the money's going to be about the same. She's not going to be making a killing. She probably won't even be making what she was making for the first 10 years. But her fiscal resiliency, she lives in a place where it's not keeping up with the Joneses, where she wants to be the role model to her children for life impact and happiness. And when you have the wherewithal to take that dip and choose to take that dip, right? Choose to go live in the 800 square foot apartment, that's resiliency. When you feel like you can't change your lifestyle, that's not resiliency. That's a very brittle system. Mm-hmm. And if you're so attached to things or square footage,
yeah,
that's brittle.
And so it's not just about money, right? It's about how expansive you can think and how flexible you are willing to be. A lot of these stories are bringing up not just, oh, well, they had the money to make this transition, but they had the open-mindedness. They had the communication skills to talk about it. They also knew what was out there. I think that's important. You know, if you live such a closed-minded and literally closed-in life where you don't travel or you don't hang out with people that are different than you, you don't read the news, there are times in my life where I felt really closed in, you know, after having a kid, for example, and being home all the time. So I had to make an actual move to go and like go to events and, you know, join a mastermind and sometimes get uncomfortable, but this is how I learn. You know, this is how I learned how to build workshops. I learned how to start a podcast because I literally went to a conference 6 months after having a kid, 3 months after having a kid, and had a light bulb moment there. So it's about knowing what your options are. But in order to know those options, you have to also get out there. And that's financial resilience. It's part of it.
Yes. And that's part of self-care.
Yeah.
Not soothing the burn, but getting burnt, putting yourself out there, learning new things. Hey, it's really hard to go to a conference 3 months after you had a kid. You made it a priority. That was part of your agency and efficacy and self-care.
I draw the line at running over hot stones or like running on fire. Like, did you ever go to this Tony Robbins event where he makes people run across like burning stones? This is when my friend and I left the event. We were like, our boundaries have been crossed and we will be at the Ramada in across the street eating bottomless nachos. This is where our, you know, Tony Robbins event ends. That was many years ago. I know that he's been scandalized since.
My own personal example of that is cold water. I don't like cold water, and I've been making it my business to start plunging, right? So maybe it's not the hot stones, it's cold water. Or Takis. Oh my God, my family had a Taki eating contest.
Taki? What's a Taki?
You're welcome.
Not a taco, but you're a Taki. Welcome.
It's the hottest new chip since a Frito. You're welcome.
A Taki?
Taki
chips. Okay, I'm googling. Oh, I've seen these at the store.
I'm telling you,
they don't look like anything I would want to give my kids.
No, only as punishment.
Oh, they're spicy. The best way to get a child to not eat your food is to tell her it's spicy. I have discovered, and then they're like off. Really, you can tell them that the Sour Patch Kids are actually spicy, and they won't eat it. Be like, this is a spicy batch.
That's a good tip.
Yep. You're welcome.
Hey, one thing I want to say on the subject of resiliency, a book I read not long ago, it was Hans Rosling's book called, Hans Rosling's book called Factfulness. Melinda Gates mentioned it in her book, and I got into it. And he's like the happiest little statistician in the world. And he looks at how the world is changing for better or for worse. And by all measures, except for climate change, the world is getting better. Women's rights, healthcare, child mortality, education on, I think like 19 of 20 measures, could be 16 of 20. And by most measures, the world's getting a lot better. And yet we are so unbelievably privileged, it's hard to measure it, right? A billion people in the world have their feet as their mode of transportation. Another billion have a bicycle. 2 billion might get a moped, but only a small amount have cars, right? We think, well, like I don't know, maybe a third of the world has cars. False. Once you start realizing how most of the world lives, you realize we are far more capable than we realize. Mm-hmm. We're just so damn privileged, we lose sight of it.
Yeah. I think it was Jay-Z who said, there's always another level up. My mother always said, there's always a level down.
Nice.
And that was how we were raised. It was like, you know what? You can shoot for the stars and we will encourage you to reach all your ambitions, but never forget daily that what you have is exponentially more than most people. There's always a lower level. And I think that was early training in self-care.
Amen. That's fiscal resiliency. She's reminding you that you're okay.
Yeah.
To be a little bit grateful for that in her own, you know, poetic way. But that helps you realize, A, you're responsible, B, you're grateful, and C, and you could be okay with far less.
Sure. Allison Task, thank you so much. Your journal is a year of self-care journal, 52 weeks to cultivate positivity and joy. It's always a pleasure. And I'd love to have you back for maybe an Ask Farnoosh and Allison as the season unfolds. More people are, this is a real trend, you know, people thinking about transitioning their careers, leaving their jobs. You're dealing with it every day, talking to people about that. And it's certainly on the top of minds of listeners. So maybe we can come back and dedicate an episode to helping people through those major career decisions.
Amazing. What's the recent stat on how many people are changing jobs this year?
Well, depends. You know, there's a lot of different surveys. I always am referencing the Microsoft study. It was a global study, and they said 41% of workers are in 2021 thinking about leaving their posts, their jobs. And I mean, we see it. It's more evidenced in retail, and I mean, if you live just around town, like, everyone's understaffed. Some businesses are just closed for weeks on end because they need to give their staff a break because everybody is overwhelmed. There's help wanted signs everywhere. But even I'm talking like white collar jobs, those are also people are really reconsidering. It's been a minute. This pandemic has definitely made us rethink our life's choices.
Let's do a Q&A on what to think about when you're making that change. I would love that.
Yeah. All right. Listeners, think about your questions. Always, you know, you can send them in on Instagram, you can go on the website, you can email me, farnoosh@somoneypodcast.com. That episode coming soon. Allison, thanks again.
Thank you, Farnoosh.
thanks to Allison for joining us. Her website is allisontask.com. Her book, A Year of Self-Care Journal, is available everywhere. And send us your questions for when Allison is back to talk about the transitioning that many of us may be going through this year and next, involving our careers, our professional ambitions, all of it. See you back here on Friday for Ask Farnoosh. In the meantime, I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.